Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week, in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 12, we were taught that the people repented for asking for a king because of Samuel's preaching. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, this is interesting, because Samuel, you might say, preached up a storm. It doesn't normally rain over there in wheat harvest. But Samuel prayed. And remember verse 2? That gray-headed, washed-up, old preacher that's just not with it, lacks the new methods and ways, just can't do it. He calls down thunder and rain. And the people that know what's best for the church fear and hide. And isn't it interesting? There's that gray-headed old man standing there with the power of God on him, and that king that is handsome and tall and head and shoulders over everybody and strong and just won a great war. He doesn't have that power. The old story's told of Martin Luther, I don't know if it's true or not, but they said Martin Luther was being showed through the Rome there and St. Peter's and shown all the buildings and all the gold and everything they had there. And the one conducting the tour says, "We can no longer say silver and gold have I none," to which Martin Luther replied, "Yeah, but can you say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I command thee to take up thy bed and walk?" And no, they really couldn't do that. Okay, and so they were in trouble. And so, and the church has gone down even more time after time after time and doesn't even preach a true salvation. They put their salvation trust in a Mary who would be greatly offended that they would use her as a god. Now, Samuel is not defending God or God's word. He's not trying to convince them of God or that his word is preserved. See, he's not up there trying to argue for God's way or God's word as much as he's there to preach God's word and God's way. Okay? Instead of being on the defense, he's on the offense. The word needs to be taught and proclaimed as it is. The Bible doesn't need reworked nor reworded to make it palatable for an unholy group wanting to understand it by man's methods instead of being Holy Spirit taught. And so we go down to verse 19. It says, "And all the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king." Well, the people repent at Samuel's preaching. And my wife and I were talking about this some time ago, and that's one of the things that she told me about. She says, you know, at repentance, when I got saved, there was a change of heart and will and mind, as well as a change in my life. Well, if it changes on the inside, then it'll change on the outside. That's why we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. If it works on the inside, it'll change the outside of our life. Israel, to this point, has not changed the mind. In mind, they did not see that their desire for king was sin, and it was rebellion against God, although their intentions were good. I don't say that the people in the contemporary movement, the emerging church movement, and all these other movements are not sincere. I'm not even going to say that their intentions are bad. But the Word of God is the measure, not their intentions or their sincerity. Righteousness comes from God. Holiness comes from God. Isn't it interesting? They're young adults, not faithful to God's house. They go to watch those filthy movies. They rent terrible videos, or they watch these things on their little pads they have and the things they have now. And in mine, they have yet to say, this is sin. My lack of faithfulness is sin. They haven't said that. And again, it brings the question. Must God rain judgment and thunder against you? Or can you take him at his word instead? I mean, some people will not be brought to the sight of their sins unless there are storms and thunders in life. Now, we need to get a Bible mind about us. In Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, you take the things of the world, and you ask yourself, does it fit? I mean, take your pleasure, and take your entertainment. You're watching something, you're wearing some kind of clothes that you've heard a preacher would not approve of, and really, if he's preaching the word, it's God that doesn't approve of it. And start asking yourself the questions. Is this pure? Is this virtuous? Is this just? Does it make for a good report before God? Does it bring praise to his name? We start asking about true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praise to him. So often those things fall apart. Again, we go back to 2 Corinthians 5:10-11. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now, folks, we're going to give an account one day. Now, you can get to the point where you fool yourself more than you fool anyone else and try to justify your rebellion. I found that this is pretty well true. When people do what's wrong, and they know what's wrong, but they look at all these other factors, what is they end up saying? Well, I did this, but because there's a reason. God has put an exception. He can do this sin. She can do that sin. Well, my friend, understand, man rationalizes, but God scrutinizes. And one day, you're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ if you're saved, and you're going to find out what God scrutinizes means. Evidently, the Apostle Paul understood that, and he was trying to persuade every man he could. Now, that takes us, and we look at verses 20 through 22, where it says there, and Samuel said unto the people, fear not, you've done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Now he lets them know that although they've sinned, God will forgive if, now there's an if condition, and that is that they'll follow. They'll obey the written word of God. They'll get things right. And you see, Saul's trying to comfort them. He's not trying to kill their joy. He's trying to bring peace to their heart, which brings joy. He tells them to serve. Get busy doing for God what he would have you to do. We do that today through prayer, obedience to the word of God, and service through our local church. We're told in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, to provoke one another unto love and good works. You know, we often think of the word provoked means to make someone mad. That's not really what it means. It's the idea of to strongly urge somebody. Strongly urge them. to love and good works. And then the very next verse is not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. Oh my goodness, we are to be even more strongly, if we believe the Lord is coming soon, being faithful, not forsake the assembling of God's house at any time, whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival, conferences, what have you. Let's be there. If we really think that the Lord is coming again, and if we think it's soon, he says all the more you should be faithful. There are a lot of people say, I believe the Lord's coming again, but that's a mental assent. It's not a heart belief, because a heart belief changes your life. And that's how we get saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Now, notice what he says to them next in verse 23. He says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. Now that's interesting to me. He said that he would sin if he didn't pray for God's called out assembly, Israel. You realize God expects the leader to pray for his people. Your pastor out there, pray for your people. Call them to obedience. He expects me to pray for his local church, to whom he has made me pastor, overseer. Our role for all of us today is to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Be men and women of prayer. We sin if we restrain prayer in general, and in particular, if we cease praying for our local church. Now, notice the final warning here in verses 24 and 25. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if you shall still do wickedly, you shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Wow. Again, serve him in truth, but thy word is truth. Only fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, the evil way, do I hate, saith the Lord. So again, if you're going to fear the Lord, hate evil, whether it's pride, arrogancy, evil way, the forward mouth, all evil is... Well, let's hate it. God hates it. Let's hate what God hates. And then serve him in truth. Let the word of God be your direction. Let him do a work on the inward man. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 through 16, we read this. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself, not emulating, according to the former lust in your ignorance. In other words, before your salvation, you're in the world, you're of the world, you're worldly. So don't try to emulate the world now in your Christian life.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ. Christ Jesus.